Thank you. All
right, here we go.
This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
The latest report declares that Americans are stressed out. In fact, America's 2025 Stress Crisis Report has come out. Nearly 40% are hitting their limit, their stress limit. Unbelievable. With election chaos, rising global costs, health concerns, work pressures, relational demands, nearly 40% of Americans report experiencing what they call peak stress. A rapidly changing world is making it harder than ever to find balance. But what's fueling the surge and how can we better manage it? Well, we're going to talk about that here on the program today. That's right. How do we survive stress? Can we find peace amid pressure? And our viewpoint concerning this is determining destiny. It really is. Understanding the causes of peak stress in 2025 include financial worries, global instability, social turbulence, workplace pressures and burnout, mental health and emotional resilience, marital problems, children problems. There are just so many things that seem to cause stress. But I'm going to say something to you today that might shock you. Please listen very carefully. You cannot become a Christian without being stressed out. Now, that may come as an absolute shock. Let me tell you why I say that. Because Jesus said, I'm coming unto you. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and stressed out, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and I'm going to take the burden off of you. In other words, we're stressed out before we come to Jesus. That doesn't mean we're not going to have any stress after we come to Jesus, but if you come to Jesus and you're not stressed out initially, there's a problem. You know why? Because sin is a burden. Sin is the ultimate stressor in life, from God's viewpoint. And that's why we needed a Savior. We needed a Savior because we were stressed out. You may not think you were stressed out, but you were. And so when the Word of God comes into our lives and reveals how stressed out we really are because of the burden of sin, then we have a choice. Because the Holy Spirit now watches over that Word and brings conviction into our hearts. You know what conviction is? Spiritual stress. That's what it is. Conviction is spiritual stress, and it's a wonderful thing. It's a good thing because it moves us, motivates us, compels us to take a serious look at the burden of sin that we're under. And so even this week, as we are anticipating the remembrance of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, by the way, his crucifixion was maximum stress that he took for you. And so today, as we talk about other aspects of stress, remember that if you're walking in sin, unrepentant, it is unresolvable stress without confession and repentance. All that having been said, we want to talk about other aspects of stress. And today, everybody is under stress. I remember back years ago when I was practicing law as a trial lawyer, one person observed to me, said, you must eat stress for breakfast. Well, there was a lot of reality in what he said, because to be a trial lawyer is a very stressful situation. You take a lot of burden on people, on yourself, for people's well-being. The same is true for medical doctors. Pastors are under great stress. You cannot live in this world without stress. The question, though, is how do we survive stress? And is there stress that is unnecessary? And how do we cope with that to live peaceful lives amid pressure? Well, we have a special guest joining us here today on Viewpoint. I've never met him before. He's a fellow that bears my name, Charles Stone. He's written a book called Stressless. He doesn't say we're stressless. He just said we should stress less. And he said there are habits from the Bible and even understanding from brain science that should help us to reduce anxiety, build resilience, and indeed find a place of peace amid pressure. Charles, it's good to have you on the program.
Chuck, it's great to be with you.
Well, you probably got taken by shock when I said the opening statement there concerning you can't become a Christian without stress, because you're under stress, tremendous stress from God's viewpoint, and Satan knows that, and he wants to build more and more stress, doesn't he?
Yes, and well said. I mean, I would capitalize that stress, because sin is so pervasive to our souls. So I think you said it so well. And actually, I chuckled. I didn't chuckle out loud.
Now, be very careful now, Charles, because you've just used our nickname in vain. Chuckle.
Uh-oh.
Remember, Charles is the most abused name in the country, and now you have done it again with our nickname.
Well, I have learned two new things. Chuckles is abusing the name. One, but what I was going to snicker. Let's just say that.
There you go. I like that. Okay, let's go for it. Snickers, we can. That's a sweet thing.
Well, when you were trial lawyer and somebody said you must eat stress for breakfast, that's what made me not chuckle, but have a little laugh. So I just love that. I will remember that one.
Well, you know, stress is a stressful thing. So as we're talking about that, we want to relieve the stress a little bit with a little bit of humor to make the medicine go down. You know, speaking of stress, in the last 9 months, 11 major ministries in our country, in fact, located in one general locale, Dallas, Texas, 11 of them have gone down due to massive spiritual stress.
Oh, my.
11. These are some of the largest ministries in the country, even in the world. And they all went down in 9 months.
Yeah.
Different kind of stressors. Most of them related to sin in the camp.
Yeah.
Look what has happened as a result. It brought stress on the whole church. Look what it's done on congregations all over the country. Look what it's done on the trust of people around the world on these ministries, and now they can't trust them anymore. That's stress, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. For the pastor out in Maine, pastoring the church of 50, who is integrous and loves God, and one of the mega church pastors falls, you better believe it put stress on him, because all those people in his community, they read the news. They see that. And unfortunately, they make assumptions that, well, this pastor here, Maine, he must be doing the same thing, which is not true. It just stirs it up for us. Charlie, I live in southern Mississippi, and this is
Wait a minute. You guys in Mississippi, you guys just float down the Mississippi River. Everything is cool.
Yes.
Everything is sweet and lovely and lazy floating down the Mark Twain River, right?
Well, we may go at a slower pace than maybe up in some northern cities, but let me tell you what, we have stress here. It's kind of like pollen. This is the season for pollen.
Mm-mm-mm.
It's everywhere.
Why did you have to bring that up?
Well, we just need to get some more Snickers into conversation.
Well, you know, one person, you said in your book, stress is the trash of modern life. If you don't dispose of it properly, it's going to pile up and overtake your life. So we want to talk about the rest of the program. How do we deal with that? What does it look like? How do we dispose of it? How do we overtake it? And how can we live peacefully amid pressure? We'll be right back, friends.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. Today, we're talking with Dr. Charles Stone, who is helping us to understand, get inside this matter of stress. Now, it is possible that the opening of this program brought a certain amount of stress on some people. It's very possible, depending on your spiritual condition, depending upon the other things going on in your life and so on. And the one thing we certainly don't want to have happen is for sin, unrepentant sin, to build up in our lives, because it will produce stress like you can't believe, and you won't even, you very likely may not even understand the interconnections of that in the rest of your life. So the best thing to do, the most important thing that we can do to relieve stress in our lives is to keep short accounts with God, very short accounts. So when the Holy Spirit quickens our mind and heart and says, you know, son, daughter, what you said was not right. You need to forgive. You need to do this. We need to do that right away. Don't let it linger around. Don't let it ring around. There are enough pressures out there, enough stressors out there. Take care of that one right away. That's the number one biblical answer to stress relief. Would you say with that is true, Charles?
Oh, absolutely. If we have a clear conscience and we name our sin, we confess it, we turn from it, that is one of the number one ways to release the guilt that we have upon our soul. And when we have this weight of guilt unresolved, unrepented, it is a tremendous, tremendous stressor. So, yeah,
yeah.
I agree.
You know, even doctors say that lack of forgiveness and bitterness welling up in your heart can affect your body, can even cause a kind of severe arthritis or rheumatoid arthritis that literally can twist up your hands and so on almost beyond recognition. That's a unique kind of stress that most people don't think about.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Unrepentant sin for the person who knows Jesus, that has the Holy Spirit in them, and when the Holy Spirit convicts them, when we resist the conviction of the Holy Spirit, it just exacerbates, it just compounds the effects of a normal stress in life. What might be a 3 on a scale of 0 to 10 becomes a 7 because we have this unrepentant flowing around us in the very background of our consciousness, and sometimes in the very foreground, and we just simply ignore it, and it makes all stress events worse.
You know, a lot of people like to read the Psalms. I like to read the Psalms. My wife and I like to read them together. But a lot of people think by reading the Psalms is kind of a stressless kind of a thing. It's just nice and easy and poetic and so on. I find it just the opposite. What I find is, particularly reading from David in the Psalms, he's constantly stressed out. He's constantly lamenting and concerned. He says, Lord, why are they multiplied that are against me? No man cares for my soul. Why are they troubling against me? And then he resolves his thinking by saying, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the help of my countenance. Reminds me of something you say in your book. It's a quote. The greatest weapon against stress is our ability to choose one thought over another. That's what David does over and over again in the Psalms, isn't it?
Yes, and we all love reading the Psalms, but one of the things that I really appreciate about it, David, that I think he sets an example for us. And this is one of the principles that I've learned about managing stress or developing resilience in the face of stress, is that when he had these difficult emotions, whether anger or fear or anxiety, he acknowledged them. He didn't press them away. He didn't stuff them down.
Right.
But all throughout the Psalms and his writings, you can see his honesty and his transparency, which Chuck is really, really huge in our lives, that when we feel some of these negative emotions, and negative emotion does not mean you sin. It could be a biochemical thing going on.
Right.
When we acknowledge those, the fancy term is called affect labeling. Affect, another word for emotions. When we name them, it actually turns down the intensity of the stress response. And David is just really a perfect example for us in doing that.
Yeah. And, you know, God calls him a man after his own heart, not because he was so perfect, but because he was very open and honest before God. and chose always to resolve his concerns in favor of trusting God. And I think that's the big kahuna. I think the thing that God is looking for more than anything else, people would say, God wants us to love him. Well, yes, he does, but he wants you to trust him. And if you don't trust him, you don't really love him.
Well, that's exactly right. And one of the things that I've learned through my own stressful experiences and my research in the whole stress area is that confidence and trust in God is crucial. You know, we live in an uncertain world, especially now. It just seems like these past couple of weeks have created so much uncertainty.
Right.
And the fact of the matter is, life is uncertain. I don't know what's going to happen to me tomorrow or the next day, the next day. Nobody does. But there is one absolute certainty we have that God is, that he loves us, that he's given us his word. And sometimes, Chuck, that is all we have to cling to because we really don't know what's going to happen next. And the way the brain is wired, we want certainty. The reality is we can't create certainty except we can trust the one true certain one, God himself and his word.
And if we cast our care, Jesus said, cast your care upon me, for I care for you. So if we do that and we learn how to do that and truly trust him, it's going to relieve. It's not going to get rid of all the stress surrounding us, but it's going to relieve our responsibility in having to control all of those things, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, what we tend to do when we face a stressful experience is we tend to take it on ourselves. I'm strong enough. I'm smart enough. I've been through this. I'll be able to solve this. Instead of, as Scripture says, casting those burdens on him. And the reality is sometimes those burdens come back. We have to keep casting. It's not like a one-time cast and that's it.
Right.
It's a repeated, I think, pattern of life where we continue to cast our cares by faith on him. And he promises he's going to sustain us. He's going to uphold us and love us and give us the grace we need.
Well, we not only need spiritual relief and rest. The Bible tells us that we can come to the Lord for rest. And he's not talking about sleep per se, although if you read the Proverbs, it says that if you will do that, your sleep shall be sweet. And one of the biggest problems that we have in America right now, according to doctors, is sleep deficit. People are not sleeping. Why are they not sleeping? Most likely because of levels of stress that are unresolved. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. The science is clear on that. Stress leads to lack of good sleep. Lack of good sleep increases stress. And you quoted a scripture a while ago about stress, but I love Psalm 4:8. David said, in peace, I will lie down and sleep. And see, I really believe the Lord wants us to have sweet sleep. But we don't know how to do that sometimes.
Right.
And part of it is because we've not learned very practical ways that are biblically sounded and evidence-based ways that we can respond and do better responding to stress. And one of those ways is what I call sleeping smart. I'm a notoriously poor sleeper. In fact, when I was in college, I went to Georgia Tech, got an engineering degree, and I literally was awakened by a mouse one night.
Is that the mouse that the farmer was chasing through the house?
I don't know if it's that one or not, but it sure
is that the one that ran up and down the clock?
No, this one ran along my shelf and started eating my Cheerios.
Oh, boy.
And I heard him go crunch, 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 like
oh, man.
So much for the quiet as a mouse. But a third of Americans at any one point in time have poor sleep, and a high percentage of Americans don't have good sleep habits.
Yeah.
And that just breeds more and more stress.
And I'll tell you another thing that has come up in the last 20, 25 years concerning sleep is that snoring has become a major deficit driver for getting sleep. And it creates another level of stress in the body so that you're not getting proper oxygen. The brain is not getting proper oxygen, and so your brain is not clear, and you become stressed, you fall asleep in the middle of the day, and so on. So here come some fancy machines called CPAP machines. Now, who wants to wear a machine at night to help you to breathe? Well, I'm here to tell you, I'm a recipient of one of those, and I understood all of the crisis of the stress that was being created unwittingly because I didn't know about that. And when I found out, it remedied the problem. And anybody who is suffering like that, don't wait another day. Get it taken care of. Remedy the problem. Get rid of that stressor.
Let me tell you, I am in that same camp, too. I use a CPAP machine, and it has done wonders. I would encourage your listeners, if they know they snore at night or spouse tells them they snore, Google this word, stop bang, S-T-O-P-B-A-N-G, stop bang. It's a tool that sleep experts have designed, just asking a few questions about each of the an area that relates to S-T-O-P-B-A-N-G.
Uh-huh.
And if you have like 3 out of 8 of these or something like that, good chance you have sleep apnea, and apnea is the killer.
Yep.
If that's your case, go to a doctor and get some help.
Amen. Absolutely.
Wonderful.
Well, you know, we're providing some real stress relievers here, and we haven't even hardly scraped the surface of your book yet. We're dealing with the first things first here, and your book is probative of so many different things. Stress Less, 9 Habits for the Bible in Brain Science to Build Resilience and Reduce Anxiety. $14, friends. We'll put this $16 book in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check and $6 for postage and handling. And we're going to get the book in your hands. Anxiety, this is not a good thing. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, be full of thanksgiving and gratitude. Charles, is that really a real remedy for anxiety?
You know, it is. And I've struggled for some years and like, okay, I must be a really bad Christian because I feel like I do these things. I walk with God, but yet sometimes I feel this anxiety.
Uh-huh.
Then I learned that sometimes these difficult emotions are simply biochemical responses to stressors in life. And gratitude is one of the principles that I've discovered.
Yep.
Is huge. And it's as simple as this. When you wake up, before you even put your feet on the floor, think of 3 good things that you're grateful to the Lord for. 3 good things. Small, could be small, could be large. Even better, if you journal or diary, write those 3 good things down. Even better, at night before you go to bed, write those 3 good things down. Because what it does, when we begin the day with gratefulness, it sets the default focus for the day. And science tells us, it's amazing how science is catching up to the Bible, that gratitude actually releases positive brain chemicals, which enhance our ability to control our emotions and dial down that stress response. So gratitude is a huge, simple tool that can help us deal with the stresses of life.
And it also helps us to conform to God's will. He says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. It's the only place in the Bible that I can remember specifically now that it says, this is the will of God. This is the will of God concerning you, that you be thankful or be full of gratitude. So gratitude is an attitude of the mind and heart, isn't it?
Yes, it is a choice we make. And every one of these principles that we apply, practices we apply, ultimately is to conform us to the image of Christ.
Right.
So that we glorify God. Yeah, we get the benefit. We feel a little better. We're not burdened by the negative feelings of stress. And those are byproducts, but we're motivated because we're to love God with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength. And these little tools, practices, help us do that better.
All right. Well, we live in an environment that just brings stress around our lives, surrounds us with stress. It's kind of like the water we swim in. On the other hand, we don't have to drink it all up. So how do we cope with it? You call it resilience, other terms. We're going to talk about that when we get back. Friends, this is very important for you. It really is. How can we stress less?
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. saveus.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at saveus.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Surviving stress. Can we find, can you find, can we all find peace amid pressure? Pressure is out there, friends. It's everywhere. Some of it's more mild. Some of it is more extreme. The greater the pressure, the greater the likelihood of anxiety and of stress. Stress is a natural reaction, though, to external things going on around us that can contribute, actually also to our internal thinking, by the way, to various medical and mental health conditions it can lead to. Nearly 90% of U.S. adults report losing sleep at night because of worries about health and the economy. Job stress costs the United States over $300 billion just in absenteeism each year, not to mention medical, legal, and insurance costs. About 75% of Americans report experiencing a physical or mental symptom of stress in the last month alone. So, despite our best efforts, stress is just, it's a part of life. Jesus had stress. His disciples had stress. They had interpersonal stress. Just look at what they did. The Bible reveals all of these things to us. Then the Bible is not stressless or without stress, but it also helps us to realize how to respond to stress from God's viewpoint. And viewpoint does determine destiny. It's determining our destiny, isn't it? So stress isn't technically a disease, but it can have lasting effects on our mental health and even on our bodies. So if our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, this should be pretty important, shouldn't it, Charles?
Absolutely. One of my favorite verses that our bodies and brains are that part of that whole unit. We call a person, and Jesus, the Lord wants us to honor him with our bodies. And that means taking care of them, certainly eating right, exercising, those kind of things. But it also means taking care of the stress in our lives.
Right.
That's really what we must do in a practical, intentional way.
Okay, you say, you use this word resilience, and I hear it so much these days, it's almost kind of like a psychological buzzword. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I think resilience would be another term for character, building character. But resilience in the context of difficulty or stressful situation.
Mm-hmm.
I describe it like this. Imagine a tennis ball. I used to play tennis, don't play anymore. But you can go online and find some
stressful. Is that stressful for you, by the way, not to play tennis?
You know, that one is not, but okay. The old creaky shoulders and hands and elbows, that's what causes the stress.
Yeah, just checking. Okay.
Yeah. I would not get out on the court right now. I just do my rowing, and that's enough exercise.
All right, good for you.
But anyway, you can go online, and you can Google slow-motion tennis ball. And what these videos show, if you throw a tennis ball down, and these cameras catch this, the tennis ball does not remain perfectly spherical. It squishes a little bit, but then it bounces up. And resilience is simply this. It's the ability to bounce back from stressful circumstances, but not just bounce back, but also adapt and learn from those situations.
You mean recover.
And that's what we call. And you recover, yes. And that's what we call character.
Okay.
5, 3, and 4.
Okay.
We also know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope. So that's what resilience is. It's a kind of character, spiritual fruit that the Holy Spirit can produce in us as we respond in healthy ways to stress events, things that happen in our lives.
You mentioned the word hope, and I want to pick up on that. Without hope, we have no hope. And without hope, we're under eternal stress, aren't we?
Absolutely.
Isn't that what the resurrection is all about? The Apostle Paul said, if in this life only we have hope, we're of all men most miserable.
Yeah.
But an awful lot of Christians really don't live in hope. That's my observation after many, many, many years of working with Christians, both in and out of business and through the radio program and so on. They don't really have hope. It's an illusion. It's a fiction, but not a reality.
Yeah. Well, what we've done, Chuck, is we've separated the secular from the spiritual.
Uh-huh.
We have our spiritual lives over here. You know, I go to church and throw in some tithes and, you know, maybe teach a Sunday school class. And then here's my secular world. The majority of my life, you know, I'm working or doing this or doing that. And although we're, you know, good citizens, let's say,
mm-hmm.
we don't realize that, those 40 to 50 to 60 hours, that is much as important to God as the 2 hours we are in church, because we're to live out our faith. We're to grow in our character in our faith. We're to share with others.
Uh-huh.
And it's not like a secular spiritual split. It's like, one, we're to live in that unity with the Holy Spirit, whether it's a Sunday or the other 6 days of the week.
All right, so that reminds me of a song we used to sing. It's called In the Garden.
Mm-hmm.
I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the joy we share as we tarry there none other has ever known. And he walks with me and he talks with me. If we really have that sense in a reality in our lives, it's going to reduce stress immensely, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm 70 now. I'm kind of in a little bit older category, but like I've got a lot of life ahead of me. I wish that when I were 10, 15, 20 years, somebody had kind of brought me alongside them and helped me understand some of these kinds of things that where I'm experiencing so much more of God's peace now. Part of it is just what you learn through years of wisdom. Part of it is really understanding God's word. It's infusing God's word into our thinking on a much regular basis. And
right.
I'm experiencing more of that peace. Now, I'm not there yet. I still have to deal with stressful situations, and I don't respond.
Well, you're a human being.
Sure, that's
you're
right.
Not, you're not a human doing, you're a human being.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, so we have to relieve ourselves of a certain amount of pressure. Because we're not God. I mean, when I think about God and I think of him as a father, he must be really stressed out looking at his kids. I mean, if think about it.
Well, I'm glad he's not. I'm glad he's perfect.
I know. But, you know, we can really be stressed out. Once a parent, always a parent. You have kids, right?
Yeah.
And you have grandkids?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, once a parent, always a parent. And anybody that is a parent knows what we're talking about. And you can be completely stressed out. You can allow yourself to become, except the one thing is God lets his kids make decisions. And he doesn't stress out over it. He says, okay, that's your choice. So now I don't have responsibility to deal with that. That's your responsibility. I did everything I could to prepare you to be able to live responsibly and a stressless life to cope with these things, and now it's up to you. That's part of discipleship, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. We have choices that we must make. Ultimately, God is the one who brings about the change and creates character. But he expects us to cooperate with his Spirit. And as we cooperate with him according to biblical principles, the wholesome things, the character of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit come from that. If we choose not to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and just go on our own way, nor God, doing our own thing. We get ourselves in a lot of trouble, needless trouble.
Right. Oh, what needless pain we bear, the song used to say.
Yes.
All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. You know, those songs of the past that are not sung anymore, they really had some real directional, spiritually directional wisdom for us that isn't found in many of the songs today.
Yes. The deep theological, practical truths, I think we've lost to a great degree, and we need those old hymns because they're rooted in truth, in God's word, in a deep theological understanding of God and how the world works.
I'm thinking of another one. So important. In fact, I think it's one of the most important songs ever written. It's so simple. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, like what you were talking about, what a glory he sheds on our way. When we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. So trust and obey, for there's no other way to be what? Happy in Jesus, in other words, content, without stress in Jesus, but to trust and obey. How simple can it get?
Yeah, it says it all.
And yet we hate the word obey in God's house today. Did you know it's the most hated word in the church today? By the admission of pastor after pastor after pastor on this program.
Oh, my.
Can you believe that? That's why we're in such trouble in America.
Yeah.
In the church house. We don't have any peace.
Yeah.
And yet we talk about the peace that passeth understanding, that will keep our hearts and minds pure before him. We need that, don't we?
Well, we absolutely do. It's living in that peace. It's thinking about that. It's being a peacemaker. And, you know, unfortunately, Chuck, a lot of believers miss out on the life of joy that Jesus said he would give us.
Yeah.
Because our minds are on other things. You know, our time is invested in other things.
Yeah. You know, what we're doing—we're not going into all the depths of your book here. We're dealing with certain really essential things like gratitude. That is so fundamental that we can't miss it. So fundamental. But there are other things that you talk about in your book, like auditing your thoughts. That's a very interesting concept. Auditing your thoughts. When we feel stress, our thoughts and emotions get skewed, and often they don't reflect reality. My goodness, that's what I experienced with my clients. 20 years of law practice, 80% of my clients from the broader Christian community, and I wondered, where is their reality? Their thoughts and their emotions are so skewed. And I had to try to help them get back to reality to be able to even deal in any meaningful way with the issues that they faced. Stress, friends. Is it possible to have peace amid these pressures? The answer is yes. We'll be back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Stress less. That's the title of the book by Charles Stone, our special guest here today on Viewpoint, Nine Habits for the Bible and Brain Science to Build Resilience and Reduce Anxiety. It's a $16 book, yours for $14, friends, and it may just be what you're needing right now. We're kind of opening up a lot of different thoughts concerning these issues, but there's so much more in his book. $14 will put the book in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. I remember a few years ago, one of the then president's spokespersons kept saying, "We'll circle back. We'll circle back." She became renowned for that verbal tick. "We'll circle back." Really? Well, here's the problem, friends. So many people are so busy in circular thinking, circling back, they never can get to reality. They never can deal with the reality in front of them. And so they're full of anxiety. They're always circling back, never able to get control of their thoughts. So it becomes more and more stressful. Their emotions get skewed, and they don't reflect reality. What say you, Charles?
Chuck, I use the illustration. When a person, say, faces a stressful situation, let's say it's the size of a marble. You know, we all know the size of a marble, you know, that half an inch in diameter.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What happens is that the event is a marble size. But using your idea, we keep circling back. We keep ruminating about it. We keep adding commentary. We keep adding to this. And before long, that marble size becomes basketball size.
Uh-huh.
So no longer is the issue, but what we have thought about the issue. And that's why it's so important to audit our thoughts. One of my favorite verses, probably yours too, Philippians 4:8, goes like this. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what does he say?
Think on these things.
Think on those things. Now, unless we develop a discipline to stop long enough to think about what we're thinking, sometimes that marble size becomes the basketball size. And I'm going to give you a big word for your listening audience, but it's an important word. It's called metacognition.
Oh, come on. That's a dollar and a half word.
It's a $5 word. But let me tell you what. It's got so much meaning. Here's what it means. Metacognition means thinking about your thinking.
Oh.
Stopping long enough on a periodic basis through the day just to stop. Like, okay, Charles, what are you thinking about? Oh, you know, I'm not thinking wholesome thoughts. I'm not thinking these Philippians 4:8 thoughts.
Uh-huh.
And that's where audit your thoughts comes in. Like, who's the sponsor? Is the enemy the sponsor of those thoughts? Or is the Lord the sponsor of those thoughts?
You know what the problem there is? There's never any resolve. And if you have no resolve in your thinking, you're going to be tormented. You're going to be, at the very least, anxious. And it's going to affect every aspect of it. You can't make decisions. There's no resolve. Right. And, you know, there's another application for this. New Age music. New Age music is such that there is no melody and there's no resolve. It just goes on and on and on. It sounds so peaceful at first, but it begins to not be so peaceful to the spirit because we're born through the Lord to need resolve, and that brings peace.
Yeah. It's just constant repeat.
Yes.
Repeat. And the grooves, you know, the old days with the records, we remember those. When that little needle was on the vinyl.
Right.
If you just keep repeating, it etches that groove even deeper. But that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. The Holy Spirit can renew our mind. If we're intentional, we don't have to be stuck in those grooves.
Well, isn't that what the Apostle Paul told us in Romans 12? He said that we should not be conformed to this world and its rat race, and the hurrier you go, the behinder we get. But we should not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That has to happen every day, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's not a one-time thing. It takes discipline.
It's not a Sunday thing or a Saturday thing either, is it?
No. It is a daily thing. We're choosing to align our thoughts with God. And how do we do that? Well, we spend time in His Word. We listen to, good radio, listen to good kind of music. We hang around with people who reinforce these healthy patterns of thinking. Oftentimes, we don't do those things, and no wonder we get stuck and repeat.
So how would you define stress?
Yes.
I mean, think about it this way. You walk into a doctor's office, and if they don't have any other clear diagnosis, you know what they can say? You just have stress. That's the garbage dump for every doctor's prescription. Yeah. Have you noticed that?
Well, let me tell you what, that question is very important, and there are two concepts I want to include, then I'll give the answer. Imagine stress is like a coin. The proverbial coin has two sides.
Okay.
One side of that stress coin is the event out there, whatever it is, that bad report, from the doctor's office, or we got a conflict with somebody. That's the precipitating event. That's the stress event.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of the coin is our response to stress. So
exactly.
When we say stress, it kind of includes both of those things. Another concept is this. There are two flavors of stress, like flavors of ice cream. There's acute stress. That is when we kind of feel a little bit nervous, but it motivates us to get things done, but it passes and we get down to baseline. Then there's chronic stress. That's the kind of stress that stays with us for days, weeks, months. That's when it does its bad stuff. Now, here's the definition of what stress is. It's our body and brain natural response to real or perceived threats or demands.
Mm-hmm.
And that phrase, real or perceived, is key. When I was a kid, I went camping with my friends. Let's say we did that one night, and we heard something outside at the bed. And in our minds, we think, oh, no, it's a grizzly bear. It's going to eat us up.
So or a goblin.
That night. Well, here's how the story continues. We open up next morning, the flap of the tent, and we realize, oh, it was just a raccoon eating those Cheetos. So we felt stressful based on wrong perception. And those wrong perceptions feel just like a real perception. All the more reason we need to weed out what is true and what is false. So that's how I define stress.
Okay. Now, there's interpersonal stress that's developing between people. There's intrapersonal stress that's in our own minds and thoughts and hearts. And then there's institutional stress that's in the context of, say, our work, the church, whatever it is that we're involved with. So let's talk about the interpersonal stress just a moment. There are difficult people in our lives.
Yeah.
Some people are more difficult than others. And it's just been that way since the beginning. So how do we deal with that? Do we just excise those people out of our lives and say, you're not worth being with? Do we ask the Lord how to deal with that situation so that we can somehow accommodate to it? What do you do?
Well, I've heard of those people called EGRs, and that stands for Extra Grace Required.
I like that. Extra Grace Required. Okay.
Extra Grace Required. You know, the reality is we have some in our immediate family or extended family that are extra grace required.
Well, that's true even of your kids, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you what. That's right.
It might even be true in your marriage from time to time.
Oh, I'm sure I irritate my wife.
I hate to be meddling, but...
Well, I do irritate my wife sometimes. But she loves me. We've been married almost 45 years.
Good for you. Okay.
But there are those people in our lives. There are also people in our lives that do nothing but pull us down. And in those cases, unless there's a strong leaning from God that you are called to be the person to lead them to Christ, it's helpful to minimize exposure to those people because they just make things worse for us. So I think it's case-dependent. Well, you're a lawyer. You understand what the case is. It's case-dependent and context-dependent.
Yeah.
But bottom line, whichever, we must extend grace to others, whether they're EGRs or whether they deposit in us, a great amount of joy.
So, and allowing anger and bitterness and all of that to build up in our lives without clearing the conscience is devastating. It changes the chemistry in your body, which changes your brain function, changes your immunity, your ability to withstand disease and so on. But there's something that I wanted to just hit you with. It's a phrase that came out of the 1960s. Remember when I was studying psychology in Azusa Pacific University there in California? And it's called the tyranny of indecision. The tyranny of indecision. And I find in my own life, if I don't rather quickly come to a decision, if I just continue to dally around and don't come to a decision, pretty soon it becomes tyrannical in my mind.
Yeah.
And begins to control everything else. And it defines deviancy down, so to speak, so that I can't cope and can't function and can't press forward. And I found that to be the case with so many, many people. They just can't seem to make a decision.
Yeah, constantly second guessing. What if this? What if that? There's a place for some of that, but if that immobilizes someone, that is very, very unhealthy.
Yeah. And the worst tyranny of indecision is the refusal to humble yourself and repent before God.
Yeah.
Or to come before someone else that you've offended and ask forgiveness, or to forgive them. It is so critically important, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I've been reading Hebrews. Hebrews says, do not let a root of bitterness grow up inside you because it spreads and defiles many.
Exactly.
So when we're bitter, it doesn't just negatively hurt us, but it hurts those around us that you love the most.
Yeah.
So bitterness is a poison, toxic.
It really is. And you talk about stress. Whether you want to talk about toxic, you talk about toxic people, but really what we're talking about is stress. And your book is going to be so helpful to so many people, Stress Less. Very good title, Stress Less. I put the title for the program, Surviving Stress, Can We Find Peace Amid Pressure? The Hebrews call it shalom. We want that. Shalom. The peace that passeth understanding, friends, that will keep our minds and hearts pure before the Lord. Get a copy of this wonderful book, Stress Less. $14. We'll put the $16 book in your hands on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, and $6 for postage and handling. And become a partner. Friends, don't let me stress. Don't cause us to stress over how we're going to stay on the air. No, I don't stress over it. You know why I don't stress over it? Because it's not my business. It's God's business. I don't make any money doing it. I don't rely upon any man's money to do what we do. I do it because God asked me to do it. And so for 30 years, we've done it. And so we rely upon God, and God relies upon you. You see how that works? So I don't have to walk in stress. If the funds are not there, they're not there. Then maybe God's saying something. On the other hand, maybe he's saying something to you. And say, hey, why is it after all these years you've been listening, you've been receiving, and you haven't responded? Just asking. One final word, Charles. What would you say?
There is hope. You can absolutely manage the effects of the stress response through trusting the Lord, receiving his grace, and applying some very simple practices.
Very good. That's what the book is about, Stress Less. Thanks, my friends, for joining us. Charles, thank you, my namesake, for joining us. You know your name means manly, so live up to it, man.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks so much.
All right. It's been a blessing. Friends, again, stress is out there. Don't eat it for breakfast. Okay? Don't eat it for lunch and don't eat it for dinner. And make sure you get some sleep. And if you're having problems with snoring, get that CPAP machine. It'll reduce your stress.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.